mother who finds her source of peace and strength in God is the best mother to provide a peaceful home for her children.
Elizabeth Elliot says, if you dwell on your own feelings about things, rather than dwelling on the faithfulness, the love, and the mercy of God, then you're likely to have a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe, she says. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about a peaceful home. In my last talk, we discussed some of the ways of having a peaceful home, and of course it begins with the mother and the father. Does the father love the mother? Does the mother submit to the father? Do the children see that kind of an example? I know that if I mention the word submission, that some people's hackles are raised, and yet the word comes straight out of the scriptures, and we must learn to submit to God. That's the most important thing in the Christian life, learning to bring our wills under subjection to God. And the most practical way in which we learn that is by submission to the people whom God has put over us. If you have a job, you have a boss to whom you must submit. You have the rules of the house. If you play on a sports team, you have to go by the rule book. You submit to the coach. If you play in an orchestra, you submit to the conductor. So there's always freedom where there is order and submission, a recognition of authority. The scripture says that the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Paul speaks of the foolishness of preaching and the foolishness of the cross. These principles, which the Bible makes so plain to us, that life comes out of death, that power comes through surrender, that gain comes out of loss, they really don't make any sense, do they, humanly speaking? That's why the verse says, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. When things make no sense to us, when the Bible seems hard to understand, when you hear me articulating principles that just go against the grain, go against everything in your nature, I would urge you, rather than simply to switch off the radio or decide that Elizabeth Elliot is out to lunch, check out the scriptures and see if what I'm saying can be corroborated by them. Sometimes perhaps it can't, and then I expect to be challenged. Feel free to challenge me. Write me a letter. But when the principle comes from the scriptures, then that is authority which you and I need to listen to and submit to. In 1 Corinthians 1:25, Paul makes this startling statement, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. In the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, verses 6 and 7, he said that he speaks not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, but a secret and hidden wisdom of God, planned to bring us to our full glory. Now, there's a wonderful statement. What is God's purpose in making boundaries and limitations and rules for us? The rule, of course, above all rules, is love. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If we really loved as we're supposed to love, we wouldn't need any rules at all, would we? But when there are rules, such as husbands love your wives, wives submit to your husbands, or show hospitality without grudging, or forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you, God's purpose, he tells us here, is to bring us to our full glory. the hidden wisdom of God planned to bring us to our full glory. A few months ago, I read you a quotation from Cynthia Acton, and I want to read that again, because in speaking about a peaceful home, we're talking about mothers and fathers, and her testimony is this: "The life of motherhood is no fairy tale of angels and ease. It has been the hardest race I have ever run, a difficult assignment that has caused me to learn to bend, to surrender, to sacrifice. But oh, how thankful I am," Cynthia says, "that it was these ears of mine that heard my children's many ideas and dreams, the simple prattle and the jarring insights. How thankful I am that it was this heart of mine that held the deep ocean of love, that grieved with them in their sorrows and rejoiced with them in their triumphs. How thankful I am that it was these hands of mine that handled their needs of body and spirit. For who else but a mother can see the values of eternity pass through her humble hands every day? Learn to bend, surrender, and sacrifice," Cynthia says. Does that sound like foolishness? Well, it certainly does in terms of the values of the world, but it's meant for our fulfillment and peace. A mother is one who enters into sorrow and pain for the sake of another. She bears and shares with him and helps him to let go his sorrow and pain, to move on in living for today without clinging to the past and making a career of pain. This was a lesson that a young mother whose little boy was born with a congenital heart anomaly taught me. The doctor had told her that this child might not survive past 4, but he needed surgery on his heart when he was 4 years old and not before. So she didn't know whether this little boy was going to survive to the age of 4 or not. And she told me that the Lord showed her how dangerous it was to make a career out of her own suffering, her suffering, of course, being for that child. But she was willing to enter into sorrow and pain for the sake of that child. She bore with him. She shared with him. She helped him to let go his self-pity and to move on in living for today. This is cooperating with God. God who bears our griefs and carries our sorrows. The scripture says he comforts us as one whom his mother comforts. A beautiful simile. He comforts us as one whom a mother comforts. Have you ever seen a baby just frantic with hunger and tiredness, and the mother takes that child on her lap and gives him the breast, and what happens? He's immediately quiet, he relaxes, he's comforted. That's the way God promises to comfort us. Even the Apostle Paul uses maternal imagery to describe his own care for the people of the church of Galatia. He said, "I travail in birth for you." To the church at Corinth, he said, "Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and made to fall? And I am not indignant." Doesn't that sound like a mother? If you see the neighbor child bullying your child, don't you want to go out and wring that child's neck? I remember my sister-in-law Lovelace saying, "I never realized before that I actually had the seeds of murder in my heart." She said, "When I would see my little boy playing in the backyard, I thought if anybody came over that fence and did something to that child, I would kill him." That's the way you'd feel, isn't it? Paul says, "Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I'm not indignant?" I told you the story about my daughter finding her little 2-year-old Colleen flat on the floor in the bathroom, unconscious, with her eyes rolled back in her head. Can a mother see her child suffer or sin and not be smitten? Well, of course, Valerie was in a panic for a few moments, and she prayed, and they were able to get the emergency vehicles, and they took her to the hospital, and she seemed to be fine. I will tell you a little more about Colleen in a later program. Mothers, in one sense, are made overnight. When that child is born, you don't have a chance to practice. You have to start learning right away to be a mother. You don't have a choice. You feel unprepared, don't you? Yet, mothers must learn, slowly and patiently and steadily, to be mothers. They must allow the hidden process of maturation and growth to go on. Do you feel impatient with yourself because you feel as though you're not a very good mother or father? Don't expect it to happen in an instant. Don't despair. Don't be upset by the fits and starts. If you prayed for God's help, be assured that He is answering. It takes time. It takes patience. Turn your helplessness over to Him for His strength. Lift up your empty cup and say, "Fill my cup, Lord. Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up. Fill it, Lord, with your wisdom, your patience, your grace, your strength." A mother who finds her source of peace and strength in God is the best mother to provide a peaceful home for her children. Maybe some have been listening to me who must go out and work, and you're thinking, "I can't possibly do all these things that Elizabeth is talking about. What's she telling me?" Well, you be patient too, because in a few more weeks we're going to have some talks on the subject of mothers who work. A peaceful home is founded on the principles of Scripture. The Lord is the one who is willing to give us peace. He is the one who makes for us a pathway of peace. "Lord, you establish peace for us," said the prophet Isaiah. May God make your home a peaceful place, a refuge for His glory.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.